buddy Bill Buckmaster, along with my friend Ray Allen, Ray engineering and producing our show. And together, we welcome you to the Buckmaster program on this Thursday, January 12th, 2017. Lots of people in our community with bronchitis and all sorts of chest issues and coughs. So please take it easy out there. Remember to use those hand wipes or whatever. Wash your hands a lot. But really got something going on here in the community touching lots of people. We're coming to you from AM 1030 KVOI, Tucson's Voice. We have worldwide live listening at buckmastershow.com and KVOI.com. We have all of our podcasts. My fine assistant, Rosemary Brandt, makes sure those shows are up on the podcast. Usually get them up about an hour at the conclusion of the program. And, of course, they're available for you 24-7 at buckmastershow.com. Our live line is open for you. It is a talkback program, and at 790-2040, you can talk back to us with your questions and comments. And, of course, we invite you to be follow us on Facebook and on Twitter as well. Let's go now on the live line to Tucson City Councilman. He is a Democrat representing Ward 6, Councilman Steve Kasacha. Councilman, how are you today?
Doing pretty well. How are you doing, Bill?
Doing very well. I thought the other day while I was out driving, it was a Sunday, I saw you with a clipboard. I think you may have been going door to door getting signatures.
Yeah, exactly. Out every day. Announced re-election for this November, but the first step in that is getting on the ballot. We have already gotten more than the minimum we need and heading for the maximum. My goal is to get that done before the inauguration day, just to kind of send a message that I'm not going to go quietly into the night. We have a lot of serious issues that I suspect we're going to get to here locally, and I want to make sure that we're, you know, that I'm around again for another 4 years to help protect home rule and local interests. So a little bit different campaign this time. I've told people I'm not going to be asking for money, no political campaign donations. Pretty concede that there's an advantage to incumbency, but I'm willing to simply say I've got a 7-year record, lay that on the line, consider this a job application, and will you rehire me? And so instead of asking people to write checks, I'm saying if you would have otherwise given to this campaign, to my campaign, find a nonprofit that you can support in the community with that money. And instead of that, we're going to be going into people's living rooms and just sitting and having coffees and developing a relationship. And I think people will find a funny thing happens when you take the money out of politics. You actually get to know the person that you're supporting and electing. And that's the goal, and looking forward to an active year in that.
Yeah, so you're not hiring people to go out and get signatures for you.
No, doing it on myself. And, you know, my wife was with me, and we're going to be just doing the door-to-door thing. And as I say, we've got a real, real positive response. Over 300 signatures already. We just began, and the maximum is 600. And we'll hit that in the next few days and move on to the coffees.
What can you tell us about this? It's controversial, let's face it, this ban on handheld devices while driving. What is the latest thinking on that?
It is controversial because, and the fact that it's controversial validates that lots and lots of people do it, myself included. It's really a simple question. Does a hands-free ordinance make our streets safer or not? And, you know, there's the typical, well, you could be eating a hamburger too, and that's distracted driving. Well, we're not going to be banning people from eating hamburgers, but the fact of the matter is that the nature of technology has outstripped people's intuitive willingness to drive a car and focus on what they're doing. People are not only using, this isn't just cell phones, we're talking about tablets and GPS systems and all the electronic devices that people use to otherwise occupy their attention when they're behind the wheel of a car. States have adopted these hands-free ordinances all over the country. The state of Arizona has not. We found our texting ban was virtually unenforceable because people could simply say, I wasn't texting, I was dialing a number. And so what we have now in place is a secondary offense. The hands-free is a secondary offense, which means that if the police see some form of erratic driving, speeding, or weaving between lanes, and, oh, by the way, you happen to have the phone at your ear, or you're messing with your tablet, they can now cite you for the primary offense, the speeding or the weaving or whatever it was, the reckless driving, but also give you a citation for the secondary offense, and that would be having the phone at your ear or whatever else you were doing. We're going to try it that way. I would have preferred it to be a primary offense, but there were concerns raised that by some of the other council members that in this political environment, they did not want to give another tool that could be perceived as a way to profile people. And so I said, fine, sensitive to that. We'll initiate this as a secondary offense, see how it works. The police will gather data, and in 5 or 6 months, we'll go back and take a look at it and see if it's working as a secondary.
Is that being done in some other communities where it is a secondary rather than a primary?
Now, Oral Valley is the only other jurisdiction in this region who has done this, and mm-hmm. it is a primary in Oral Valley. Pima County was seriously looking at it, but Chris Nanos was the sheriff at the time. Mark Napier won that election. Napier says he doesn't want to. He's got other things on his plate right now for the first 5 or 6 months, and at that point he'll take a look at it. My sense is that we had this has the support of every law enforcement agency that I've contacted, region-wide, statewide. Shouldn't take Napier 6 months to figure this out, that it makes the street safer.
All right, let's go to the live line. Barbara would like to ask you, I believe it's a gun issue question. Go ahead, Barbara.
Yes, Ms. Kovacic. I know you like the no-gun zone, but have you ever looked at the Ukraine and see how quickly the Soviet Union was able to take over because they sent their special forces in and just started killing people, and nobody had guns, nobody had any way to defend themselves. And then after that, this is during peaceful demonstrations saying they don't want to become part of the Soviet Union. Then they went and protested against peacefully, and again the Soviet Union sent in them to beat the people up because they had, again, no way to support themselves. So I think you kind of have to look at your no-gun zone thing and reexamine it, because we don't want to be like the Ukraine people, so vulnerable.
Okay.
Wow, what a leap. first of all, private businesses in this state have the right to designate themselves as gun-free zones. The issues that we're fighting right now with the state legislature have nothing to do with that. What we're talking about with the state legislature right now is a lawsuit that is primarily over home rule. We're a charter city. We have had an ordinance in place for well over a decade. The ordinance simply says that if somebody forfeits their gun to TPD, or we get a gun through the court system as through evidentiary means, that TPD, instead of selling that gun back into circulation, has the right, and we do destroy those guns. The state legislature passed a bill that says that they have a right to come in and challenge local ordinances, whether it's about guns or anything. And so the one that they picked was our destroying weapons. So there are two things going on. Number one, we are a charter city. That charter has been our constitution for over 100 years. We have beaten the state before on issues of home rule that are local issues found under our charter. The most immediate, most recent one was the elections case. And now we are saying that we also have the right to dispose of property, whether it's a weapon or a refrigerator or a car tire that comes into our possession. So we are defending our local ordinance on the disposition of property. More importantly than that, though, and Barbara needs to check this out, because this is something that, irrespective of where you stand on the political spectrum, you ought to be in agreement with, and that is that SB 1487 is the bill by which they are challenging our local ordinance. 1487 is fundamentally unconstitutional. It steps all over due process by charging the city of Tucson $57 million filing fee just to stand before a judge. It convicts us without a trial and puts $115 million worth of state-shared revenues at risk, even without a court hearing. It allows the Attorney General to take legislative action. It allows the legislature to take executive action, and it allows the executive to take judicial action. It's an absolutely flawed piece of legislation. If they want to come after us for our destroying guns, then they need to find a constitutional way to do it. So I'm not going to get into the Soviet Union and gun-free zones. That's not what we're talking about with the state legislature right now. We're talking about defending our local charter, home rule issues, which, by the way, is a very conservative concept when the state legislature wants to lay on the 10th Amendment and tell the feds to stay out of their business. So there's a bunch of hypocrisy going on with this whole thing, and I'm absolutely going to dig my heels in saying that if you want to come after us, make sure it's of statewide concern. We're not going to be the state's arms dealer. And also, it's also hypocritical because generally you hear the state legislature say, we don't want the government competing in the private sector. That's exactly what they're trying to force us to do, to sell guns back in the private sector now and compete with private business. So I don't know about the Soviet Union. I'm not going to get into that. That's not at all what we're talking about. But we have a very, very sound position when it comes to the constitutionality of SB 1487 and home rule.
All right. Steve Kasachek, stay with us for another segment. This portion of the Buckmaster Show presented by Silver City and Grant County, New Mexico. Just a three-hour drive over to a great place in the Southwest. Visit southwestnewmexico.org, and there is so much to do, like visiting Western New Mexico University. The museum there in Silver City has really, I think, the finest collection of Mimbres pottery in the United States. Great listings of places to stay and things to do at southwestnewmexico.org. More with Steve Kasachek, 790-2040. If you have a question for the councilman, we will take it, and we'll be right back. Vero Amore is Tucson's only certified authentic Neapolitan wood-fired pizza, where every flavorful pizza, pasta, panini, and salad is homemade using the finest local and imported ingredients. Vero Amore, Plaza Palomino and on Dove Mountain Boulevard in Marana, plus a full catering menu and mobile pizza truck for parties and events. Vero Amore on the web at veroamore.com. This is Bill Buckmaster. One of my passions is travel, visiting over 100 countries in all 50 states. When I'm ready to take off, I fly from Tucson International Airport, with six airlines flying nonstop to 19 destinations and easy one-stop connections I can get virtually anywhere in the world. It's close by, convenient, with competitive airfares, and the best part is there's no long drive coming back home after a long trip. Check out flytucson.com, travel smart, and fly Tucson. It's the way to go. On a changing planet, the University of Arizona's Biosphere 2 has been diving deeper and looking closer while energizing, innovating, conserving, and advancing science on an unparalleled scale to better understand the natural systems around us and to inspire our future generations. For 10 years now, UA Biosphere 2 has explored our planet's future. Come, explore it yourself. Open daily, biosphere2.org.
Today, more than ever, consumers want to work with a business they trust. Hi, this is Suzanne Miller with your Better Business Bureau of Southern Arizona, reminding you that thousands of consumers go to tucson.bbb.org every week to inquire about trustworthy businesses. Is your business accredited with BBB? To find out more, call Celeste Angelini at 520-345-5837 or go to tucson.bbb.org and remember to always start with trust.
If you're searching for that special one-of-a-kind item, may I suggest Adobe House Antiques. It has a vast collection and variety of antiques, lighting, and fine art. In addition to the interior space, a large outdoor location offers an extensive collection of vintage patio furniture, exterior lighting, and ironwork. Come see Penny at 2700 North Campbell, 325-9439, or on the web at adobehouseantiques.com.
Are you a landlord by choice or by force? Experiencing a job transfer and don't know what to do with your current house? Want to move but can't sell your current house? Hello, my name is Ken Adams, co-owner of Rincon Ventures Property Management. Rincon Ventures has a fully automated accounting process, electronic payments, and 24-hour access to your accounts. With some of the lowest rates in Tucson, Rincon Ventures has grown rapidly in this down economy. Let us show you why. Give us a call at 881-2258 right now and experience the difference. Rincon Ventures, where service is a fact, not another empty promise. 881-2258.
The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun cover two of Arizona's most desirable communities. The newspapers reach more than 75% of the communities each week, with a combined population of more than 50,000. The Green Valley News also publishes a dozen magazines each year, and both newspapers publish up-to-the-minute local news online at gvnews.com. The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun, it's all right here.
This is Bill Buckmaster. Coming up Friday, we talk with Tucson's Police Chief Christopher Magnus. Our Friday roundtable features Tim Steller of The Star and Jim Ninsel of The Weekly. Matt Russell hosts Weekend Watch on Buckmaster, noon to 1 on AM 1030 KVOI, Tucson's Voice. Back, Bill Buckmaster with you, urging you to check out Green Things, 3384 East River Road, just west of the intersection of Dodge and River, just west of the Brandy Fenton Park. GreenThingsAZ.com, their fine website, the place that lists all the activities, including the free workshops, garden workshops, 10 a.m. Saturday and Sunday, different gardening topics. Jan and Jack, the owners, doing a beautiful job on 13 acres over there by the Rito. It's a beautiful location. Steve Kasachek, Ward 6, Tucson City Council member, is with us on the live line. And perhaps you heard that promo about tomorrow's show, Councilman. The chief is scheduled to be with us. His one-year anniversary, I believe, is this month. How has he done here in the city of Tucson?
Yeah, I'm glad you're having him on. He's a quality guy. He's made some absolutely wonderful changes to the department. He's brought in some creative ideas, and there's an opportunity for us to take some really productive steps forward with the new thinking. He's reorganized the department. He has taken officers from other positions that were non-patrol and put them out into the community. Everybody knows that we are understaffed. But he has found ways creatively to get people out into the community to really engage in a community policing effort. I hear from constituents all the time that they really appreciate the fact that they're getting callbacks, they're getting cops knocking on the door, doing follow-up on investigations or concerns. So Chris has done a really good job coming in and taking on a tough lift, and I really appreciate the work he's done. So I'm glad you're having him on.
Yeah, I was over at one of our local parks over the weekend doing some walking, and here were a couple of our cops talking to young people. They had six or seven young kids, two officers, talking about policing. It was fantastic, and I heard the little girl say, can women get involved? And I heard the officer respond, yes, we have lots of women on the force. I was very impressed.
Yeah, and that attitude really comes from the top down, and for Chris to come in and reshuffle the deck, make some new assignments at the command level, but most importantly, get some of the people who are on task forces and things out into the community behind the wheel of a car, out into patrol, where they're having that direct touch with the public, and that's what the public wants to see, and he's done a marvelous job of doing that.
And of course, one of the items that will be coming up on the May special election will be to give the chief some more resources.
Right. So we have May 16th special election. We have a question coming to the ballot. And with Barbara's question, we talked about our charter. This is also charter related. By our charter, we are limited to 2% sales tax, and we are asking for a temporary half-cent addition to that, 5 years. The way the money will be divided up is 40% going to roads and 60% going to public safety. I'd have preferred it to be 50-50 in favor of roads and public safety, but the will of the council was to have more heavily skew it towards public safety. I get that also. We're talking about some significant capital investments. This is not for operations. You see a cop car driving down the street, and when it's fully tricked out with the light packages and all the computers and the gadgets that they have, it's a $50,000 to $60,000 vehicle driving down the street. When you're talking about fire vehicles, A paramedic truck is at about $400,000. The pumper trucks are about $800,000, and the ladders are $1.5 million. If you see a paramedic truck drive by you on the street right now, chances are 9 out of 10 that the thing has over 100,000 miles on it. Hmm. And about 65% of our police fleet is beyond its useful life. So we're hoping that people will recognize that, A, these are capital needs. For the first time since I started doing this 7 years ago, we have an operationally balanced budget. But similar to you and me and everyone listening at their homes, you have your operations handled by your weekly paycheck. You buy your groceries, you pay your light bill. But what you don't do with those weekly paychecks are the major capital needs, like fixing the roof or fixing the plumbing when the pipes blow. Those require different funding sources. And that's what we're saying to the public is, let's go out, let's upgrade our fleet, both police and fire. Let's buy some of the equipment that they need, like the bulletproof vests and some of the turnout gear for the firefighters. As far as the roads are concerned, Prop 409, the property tax bill that the voters passed 3.5 years ago, is going to expire. And we need to find a funding source to continue the work that we're doing on the roads. And every meeting I go to, people say, are you going to keep fixing the roads? And the answer to that is yes, with the caveat that the way that we're going to do it is for the next 5 years with this funding source through the sales tax. The RTA is going up for a reauthorization sometime soon. They wanted us to not make this a permanent half-cent increase on the roads so that they could engage the legislature in terms of adding road repair to the RTA component. I'm not at all confident that they're going to get that done, but I'm willing to let that conversation happen. And if we need to, we can go back to the voters in 5 years and say, hey, the RTA didn't get that reauthorization that they were asking for. We're not going to fix the roads in 5 years, but we will have the conversation again if we need to, if the RTA fails.
Let's see if we can work another call in. Steve wants to speak with Steve Kasachek. Steve, go ahead.
Steve, how are you doing?
Good. Hey.
With a half-cent sales tax, since the minimum wage is going up, I'm going to be paying more for things. I want to make sure if I'm going to pay another half-cent sales tax, that money can't be pulled from the roads for something else.
Yes, exactly. That's an excellent point. And so we will have, as we did with Prop 409, we will have specific roads identified on the ballot. So that you're going to look at that ballot and in the pamphlet that goes out, you're going to look at the information and say it's going to fix Grant and Speedway and 22nd or Alvernon, pick your road. And it'll have that specifically laid out, exactly as we did with Prop 409. Part of the whole notion of going out to the voters and asking for this increase is the question of trust. And have we done with 409 what we told you that we would do? Not only is the answer to that yes, but we've done more. We will have done more linear miles for lots of reasons. It's not just because, you know, we're wonderful folks and we did a great job. It's because the cost of the materials went down and the bids came in lower than what we anticipated. But the point is that, yes, we're doing exactly what we said we'd do, and we're going to do more because we're able to for reasons of efficiencies and cost savings. The same notion applies, Steve, when we're going out with this half-cent sales tax. We will not only have a specific list of roads, but we will have a specific list of the numbers of vehicles that we're going to purchase for police and fire, the exact number of weapons that we're going to purchase, the exact number of turnouts, and all the equipment that we're buying. It's not an idea of saying, just trust us to spend this wisely. We're going to show you what we're going to spend it on.
All right. I've got less than 2 minutes and a caller who did not have time to stick around to ask you in person, but would like me to ask you, what about police and fire getting a raise? When was the last time these people were given more compensation?
They were given more compensation during the 2013 budget cycle. I know that because I voted against it in the middle of an election cycle, and TPD pulled their endorsement of me. I did not think at the time that we should be giving anybody, whether it's police and fire or the rest of the city employees, raises while we were facing a $40 million budget deficit. And so, frankly, I said, no, this was not the right time. It was also pensionable income, and we were this year we're going to have an $81 million public safety pension obligation. So I thought it was the wrong time, but they did get a raise during the 2013 budget cycle.
And in the remaining minute or so, are we in pretty good shape right now? You've been around 7 years. How does it look in 2017?
I think we're doing really, really well. And what I'm really encouraged by is the some of the corporate businesses that we're seeing coming in. We've talked about Caterpillar before, but last Tuesday evening we finalized a contract agreement, an amendment with Raytheon for an extension of their deal. That's going to result in $400 million worth of investment by Raytheon out on the Sonoran Corridor. And I know you and I have spoken about the Sonoran Corridor before. Mm-hmm. It's how we catalyze economic development in this region, both from over the road, air, cargo, south of the border. That's our ace in the hole. And to see Raytheon and the city of Tucson signing this this amendment to their agreement that's going to result in nearly 2,000 jobs paying north of $100,000 a year and a $400 million investment, the answer to your question is we're on an upswing, and I'm really, really looking forward to being a part of this after this next election.
Steve Kasachek, thank you very much. I hope you have a great weekend coming up, Steve. Thank you.
Thanks, Bill. Appreciate it.
All right. Steve Kasachek, Tucson City Councilman, representing the 6th Ward in the city of Tucson. It is just a few seconds past the midway point of the Buckmaster Show. Still lots of content to come. It's Buckmaster on a Thursday.
Five Star Termite and Pest Control's patented foam treatment process. Trusted to rid the military base on Johnson Atoll of termites. Trusted by Tucson and Southern Arizona residents to rid their homes of termites. Locally owned and operated since 1980. We know what bugs you. Five Star Termite and Pest Control. Our president began working on an alternative termite treatment process in the early 90s. In 2001, we were awarded a U.S. patent for developing this new method to protect homes from termites. Five Star, leading the pest industry in innovation from right here in Tucson. 886-0045 or fivestartermite.com.
The excitement is building for the grand opening in early 2017 for the Twisted Tandoor. The legendary Indian food truck will now have a permanent brick-and-mortar home at Swan and Camp Lowell Drive. The menu will be an expansion of the Indian classic offerings from the original Twisted Tandoor food truck. The Twisted Tandoor, coming in early 2017 at 4660 East Camp Lowell Drive. This is Bill Buckmaster. I love travel and flying from Tucson International Airport. And when you fly Tucson, you're standing up for Tucson. When more people fly Tucson, airlines respond with more flights. And with more flights, more travelers can get here to conduct important business. It's a win for the region, and it's a win for you in time saved and money saved not traveling to an airport 2 hours away. Next time you book a flight, type in TUS. Travel smart and fly Tucson. It's the way to go.
The Southern Arizona News Examiner, reporting from a different perspective, featuring regional, national, and international news, local opinion, and views from top national columnists, business and technology news, auto reviews, books, and the box office, plus sports and a look back at the Old West. The Southern Arizona News Examiner, reporting from a different perspective. Free subscriptions at soaznewsx.com.
The Regional Transportation Authority and its members are working together to deliver transportation improvements to our region. More than 770 improvements have been completed to date. The success of the RTA is built upon collaboration and leadership that focuses on addressing our regional mobility needs to make our region a safer, more efficient, and more vibrant place to live. Better roads, better transit, better choices, a better future. More at rtamobility.com. As a small business owner, I know the importance of a certified public accountant you can trust. That's why I recommend my CPA, Michael C. Flowers of Flowers, Rieger & Associates, proud sponsors of the Buckmaster Show. Located at 2919 East Broadway and on the web at flowersrieger.com or follow the live link on buckmastershow.com.
Southern Arizona is home to one of the world's most trusted sources of information on medicines. The Credible Meds website is visited each day by over 2,000 people from more than 60 countries. You too can learn how to personalize your medications and take control of your health care. Visit CredibleMeds.org today and join Bill Buckmaster each month as he and Dr. Ray Woosley, founder of Credible Meds, give you practical tips on how to get the most from your medications.
Welcome back. It is the Buckmaster Show on AM 1030 KVOI, Tucson's voice. We have worldwide live listening at KVOI.com and BuckmasterShow.com. It is time for our economic development interview series on the Buckmaster Show, presented by Sun Corridor Incorporated, a Tucson-based binational economic development group that represents one of the most dynamic and growing major business centers in North America. For the past 10 years, the organization has helped to drive significant business investment into the city of Tucson and Southern Arizona region through primary job creation resulting in thousands of jobs and an economic impact of nearly $8 billion. For more information, log on to suncorridorinc.com. With us on the Buckmaster Show live line, Dee Knight is with us. Dee from Comcast, which has a program that is called Internet Essential. I want to talk about that, which is aiming at closing the digital divide. Dee, how are you?
I'm good. How are you doing?
Doing very well. What is the digital divide?
Yeah, well, it's funny you should ask. Essentially, the digital divide is a technology gap between individuals and families who have access to the internet at home and all of the benefits that the internet provides, and then those families who don't have internet access at home.
And how about students? What role do they have the internet access they need?
Well, we have found with talking with teachers and faculty at different schools that many students don't have the internet service at home that they need in order to compete with their peers, in order to do research assignments, in order to, you know, research school projects. And so we want to just help close that digital divide so that all students are on the same playing field and can complete their homework assignments as needed and get technology in home.
Dee, do you have any idea how many families do not have access in this country to the internet?
Well, government research shows that 30% of Americans' homes don't have access to the internet at home, and those are homes that are typically near or below the poverty line.
Mm-hmm. Well, you know, that is one of those assumptions. I would guess that it would have been a lot less than 30%. You know, we assume that everybody is wired into the internet, but I guess there are certain barriers to broadband adoption, correct?
Yeah, that's really correct. And a couple of barriers just offhand are, one is a lack of understanding of how to use the internet, and some people just don't realize how relevant or useful the internet can be. And then there's also obviously the cost of a home computer and that purchasing factor. And then also the cost of the internet service itself is often a barrier.
How long have you had at Comcast this Internet Essentials program?
Since 2011 is when we first launched the Internet Essentials program. And this program launched really to service children who are eligible to receive a free and reduced price lunch at school under the National School Lunch Program. And just recently, about a month ago, we expanded the program to also include anyone who currently resides in HUD or public housing locations.
You know, that's what I love about doing a daily talk show, Dee. I learn something every day, and I did not realize that there was this program in existence, this Internet Essentials, and that there is help for people now, especially if they're residing in any kind of HUD or public housing. They can get assistance with getting into the digital age, correct?
Yeah, that's correct. And all they would need to do is just contact the phone number on the screen, our 1-800 number, or go online and put in their address, and then that's connected to all the HUD properties in our service area, and then that automatically qualifies them for low-cost internet service.
Now, what does that include? What do the qualified Internet Essentials families, what do they receive?
Sure. So qualified families receive internet service for $9.95 a month in all of our service areas. There will be no price increases, no activation fees or equipment rental fees. The families also get a voucher to purchase a low-cost computer because we noted, you know, earlier that that was a barrier to internet service. And so we offer low-cost computers or laptops for only $149.99 plus tax. We also provide free in-person digital literacy training as well as print and online training for those who would like it.
Do you have any kind of protection for, some of the antivirus protection for folks?
Yeah, and that's an additional benefit at no cost. So we also provide like Constant Guard Protection Suite. It's one of the top rate in Norton security suites, and we offer that free of charge along with a computer.
What can people do to help out if they would like to get involved with this?
Well, we kind of have taken a grassroots approach and worked with a lot of our community partners and schools in our service areas so that they could work with their students and parents and let them know that this option is available. And so we just ask anyone out there, if you know someone that could utilize this service, to pass on the word and have them give us a call so we can get them started.
And again, we want to give out the information where people can find out more. So if you would, give us then again an 800 number, please.
Sure. And so the 800 number is 1-855-846-8376. Or those who would like to communicate in Spanish can call 1-855-765-6995. You can also go online to InternetEssentials.com for more information and to apply online.
What have you heard since this program has been up? Has it been helping a lot of people in our community, Dee?
Yeah, oh my gosh, we've heard so many great good news stories about students who have in the past had to complete their homework assignments by using their parents' smartphone that their parents got from their job. So if you could imagine using a small iPhone to type out your homework assignment and submit it on Google Docs to your teacher. And, you know, these students are resourceful. They use the limited tools that they have. A lot of these students were honor students, but because we were able to connect them with Internet Essentials, it just drastically helped out them with their ability to complete their homework assignments and just feel confident that they can exceed in this next stage of life.
Also, low-income seniors who may be in public housing, this could be wonderful, getting them connected as well so they're not feeling so isolated, Dee.
Yeah, that's a really great point, right in time for that next stage, which is college.
That's it. All right. Dee Knight, thank you very much from Comcast telling us about the Internet Essentials program. Appreciate it very much.
Okay, thank you so much.
Thanks a lot. Dee Knight with Comcast and their Internet Essentials program. And if you'd like more information, probably the best way would be just to log on to InternetEssentials.com to get more information. And for more information about Sun Corridor, log on to their website, SunCorridorInc.com. We'll be right back on the Buckmaster Show, the Thursday edition.
At the Humane Society of Southern Arizona, we've been caring for homeless pets for over 72 years. But as we've grown, our campus hasn't, and our pets and staff are crowded in run-down, dilapidated buildings. The need for a new campus is critical. The homeless pets in our care need healthier, stress-free space, and we need room to expand the important work of adoption and education. Please help us build our own forever home. Visit hssaz.org and donate today, because we're all in this together.
Noble Hops is Tucson's original gastro pub, serving an impressive menu of craft beer and fine fare. Choose from more than 175 beers from around the world, plus wine and a full bar. Enjoy delicious soups, salads, burgers, sandwiches, hearty entrees, and more. Craft beer, fine fare, great service, and stunning views. Noble Hops, perfect for lunch, dinner, happy hour, late night, and any time in between. Open daily at La Cañada and Lambert Lane in Oro Valley.
On a changing planet, the University of Arizona's Biosphere 2 has been diving deeper and looking closer while energizing, innovating, conserving, and advancing science on an unparalleled scale to better understand the natural systems around us and to inspire our future generations. For 10 years now, UA Biosphere 2 has explored our planet's future. Come, explore it yourself. Open daily, biosphere2.org. Cushman & Wakefield PICOR is Tucson's leading independently owned full-service commercial real estate company. Founded in 1985, Cushman & Wakefield PICOR offers leasing, sales, and property management for industrial, office, medical, retail, land, and investment properties in Tucson and Sonora, Mexico. Visit our website at PICOR.com for the latest news from Tucson's commercial real estate sector. That's PICOR.com. Call us at 748-7100.
Are you happy with the news you get? While not all news is good news, you know good reporting when you see it. Check TucsonSentinel.com every day for breaking news and investigative reports. Have your say in the comments. It's all in TucsonSentinel.com, your local, independent, nonprofit news. You can rely on TucsonSentinel.com for solid reporting about immigration, Tucson and Pima politics, everything from the border to baseball. It's independent news without the spin. TucsonSentinel.com. We are watching Tucson.
Experience the best of the Canadian Rocky Mountains with the rail journey on Rocky Mountaineer. You'll travel alongside the powerful Kicking Horse River and pass by monumental landmarks from the early days of the National Railway. On this legendary route, you'll see postcard images around each bend, including stays in picturesque Lake Louise, with scenic tours of Jasper National Park, and much more. Contact Bon Voyage Travel to plan your Rocky Mountaineer rail journey today. Bon Voyage Travel, your travel experts.
This is Bill Buckmaster. Green Things has been the place for all things green for the Buckmaster household for many years. From 2-inch succulents to 10-foot tall palms and desert trees, Green Things has it all on 13 acres and 33 greenhouses full of plants, pottery, and gardening supplies. Visit Green Things at 3384 East River Road by the Rito Riverwalk and on the web at greenthingsaz.com. The Regional Transportation Authority works with its member jurisdictions, the business community, project neighbors, and the broader community to deliver transportation projects promised in 2006. This collaborative effort is a model of diverse interests coming together for the benefit of the region. This spirit of regional collaboration helps us address the mobility and safety needs in all of our communities. Better roads, better transit, better choices, a better future. More at rtamobility.com. Welcome back. It is the Buckmaster Show on a lovely Thursday afternoon in Tucson, Arizona. Might be a little bit of a weather change coming our way for the weekend. Some of these days in the 70s may be a thing of the past for a couple of days as we cool down over the weekend, but it should still be very nice. Certainly beats a lot of areas of the United States right now. Let's welcome now to the Buckmaster Show. Diana Cannon is with us. Diana is the Chief Development Officer with the Humane Society of Southern Arizona. Humane Society has been doing such great work in this town and has for so many years, about three quarters of a century. Diana, good to see you. Thanks for coming in.
Thank you for having me.
Tell me a little bit about the history of the Humane Society of Southern Arizona. As I say, over 70 years, pretty much that same location off of Fort Lowell, right?
Yes. Yeah. It's on Calvin, just north of Fort Lowell.
Mm-hmm.
And 72 years, to be exact, Bill. And, you know, 72 years ago, four women approached the gentleman who owned the property that we currently have, and they wanted to start an animal welfare, humane society.
Mm-hmm.
And he said, you know what, I'll tell you what. I have a horse racing this weekend, and if my horse comes in first place, I will give you this property. And his horse won. So that's how 72 years ago we obtained the current property that we're in. So we are still in the original house.
Mm-hmm.
But we've, you know, kind of expanded, and we say that we've morphed.
Yeah.
Because we have a lot of trailers set up on that same 3 acres, but it's just not efficient, and it's old. It's crumbling.
Yeah, and thank goodness that gentleman won his horse race.
Yes, absolutely.
We are better off because of the Humane Society of Southern Arizona. And, you know, I'm a huge supporter of animal welfare issues, and this community is just so darn giving, as you know, Diana, when it comes to our pets.
Absolutely. Pets have a special bond in our lives, and it's a bond that I don't think maybe children can feel, but they give so unconditionally. And we are proud to say that in our history that we've saved and we've homed over 1 million animals.
Wow. That is fantastic. And then the Humane Society of Southern Arizona became what is known in the business, I guess, as a no-kill facility. And the live adoption rate has gone up big time.
Exactly. Oh, absolutely. 97% of the animals that enter our shelter are adopted. So when an animal comes in, we will make sure that they've had their vaccinations, that they're spay and neutered, that if there's any, there'll be a behavioral assessment. And if there's any care that needs to, special care that needs to be taken, whether behaviorally, emotionally, health-wise, we'll make sure that that animal is in its best care that it can get with us before it's ready for adoption. Now, that's having said that, sometimes, you know, there are issues, and we advise the adopters that, you know, we fully disclose that they may need to have a tooth pulled, for example. Mm-hmm. But
they may be what we might call special needs
adoptions. They could be. They could be.
Mm-hmm.
But there's a place for all of those
mm-hmm.
animals.
Mm-hmm. There is indeed. And hopefully that new place will be a beautiful facility.
Mm-hmm.
The groundbreaking actually happened December 14th.
Yes.
Your new facility, and that is on West Roger Road, 635 West Roger. What part of Roger is that?
West of the intersection of Roger and Oracle.
Okay.
So it's about a half a mile west of the intersection on the south side of the road.
And how did this new home come about?
Well, about 5 years, 6 years ago, the board of directors made a decision that we needed to move into a more efficient, effective home. And so went out and started this campaign. And so the land, we purchased the land, so we own that. And then we started the fundraising process. This is a $10 million project. It takes a lot.
It's a state-of-the-art facility.
Exactly.
Beautiful facility, but exactly. With that comes a very high
price tag.
Yeah.
Right. And we have raised, we're now just a little over $7 million that we've raised. All from the generosity of this community.
That's amazing. $7 million is a big chunk of change to be raised.
Mm-hmm.
But there's still $3 million to go, right?
Yes. Yes, there is.
Yeah.
There is. But I have to say that, you know, the community has stepped up and not only supporting just what we do every day at the Humane Society of Southern Arizona, but in addition supporting this construction of this build.
Did you have some outstanding kind of seed money, though, Diana, to get this thing off the ground?
We had our seed money have been our donors.
Okay.
Yeah, they've stepped up. They wanted to see this happen. Quite honestly, Bill, if you come to our facility and you take a tour, and I welcome people, the community to do that, you can see our need. Things are kind of crumbling around us. The surfaces are very porous, so that's dangerous because that's disease transmission.
Of course.
It's crumbling, in other words. Exactly.
Yeah.
You know, our air filter system, it's 72 years old.
Oh, my goodness.
So animals come in with upper respiratory issues, and we don't have a way to filter out those viruses, if you will. And so as a result, sometimes animals, we aren't able to get them to the adoptable stage as fast as we would like. And we know that in this new facility, those are things we're not going to have to compromise anymore.
These are not government dollars going to the Humane
Society
of Southern Arizona. And our two really major animal welfare groups are the Pima Animal Care Center, which thank goodness, I was a huge supporter of the bond issue that will be, they've got a new facility that's going to be coming online very soon. But the Humane Society of Southern Arizona is not the same as the Pima County Animal Care Center.
That is correct. The bond funding went specifically for the construction of that build.
Correct.
Where with the Humane Society of Southern Arizona, we are raising the funds to build our new facility. So we receive no tax dollars. We get no government funding. We get no funding from any national organization like the Humane Society of the United States. Mm-hmm. We have no affiliation there. So it's completely locally funded by donors, foundations, businesses. It's the generosity of this community is amazing.
It is a nonprofit.
Yes, sir. We sure are.
So your money that the listeners give, that can, there may be some tax consequences for that as a nonprofit.
Absolutely. Yeah. They get the tax deduction for that. And those fundings go into a, if they direct it to this campus, this capital campaign, it goes specifically for the build. And that money is held right now in a very secure investment account. And so it's ready to go. It's just we need to, we've got that last little bit that we need to finalize, and we'll be where we need to be. But having said that, on Monday, the contractor is going to have the big equipment out there to the property to get the land started. Prepared to get
start
it leveled.
Start clearing it, yeah.
Start clearing it, and so we're going to see lots of action out there.
Let's talk, Diana, about the new campus and what's involved here with this design? What can we look forward to?
Well, the design of this campus really does embrace the three pillars of our organization, which is sheltering and placement, education, and prevention. So we wanted to make sure that everything that we put in place gave us the ability to be able to meet those pillars and that mission of the organization. So we're going to have bigger education classrooms. Right now, our summer camps for kids are held in like a warehouse kind of building. So we're going to have some great education classes. We're going to have larger dog kennels. As I mentioned earlier, the air filtering system is going to be important. Bigger cat habitats where cats will then be able to have indoor and outdoor access. They need sunlight just
like
you and I do.
They certainly do. They certainly do. And the dogs will have jumping areas or
jumbo run
areas. And then, of course, there's whenever a potential adopter comes in, they might want to take the animal outside and have a little time
meet
there.
Meet and greet. Absolutely. Yeah.
And so we're
there'll
have be more. That kind of area that will be involved. So we're talking about going from a crumbling facility that is really
limited,
so limited, to a state-of-the-art design. And I think this new facility, coupled with what's going on over at Pima Animal Care, I think this is great for our community.
It is. There are 30,000 animals, homeless animals, that come into either PAC or the Humane Society every year. And so there's a need for an efficient, effective means to be able to take care of these homeless animals. And you know, we are stepping up to do that.
And you're going to have, I'm sure, after the new facility is built, there'll be a wonderful areas there that you can do adoption fairs.
There'll yes.
Be the location is going to be conducive. There'll be the parking that's needed. I mean, it won't be like it is right now, kind of hit and miss with the parking.
Yes.
It's just you've literally outgrown this facility.
We have. So we're going to have solar. On the property, so we'll have solar-covered parking. We also are going to do some water harvesting on the property, so we're trying to be as efficient and as green as we can be. But you're absolutely right. In the past, we haven't been able to have education classes for adults or evening classes because we just don't have the facilities. So we're really excited to be able to expand our services.
So the contractor is going to be out there next week starting the leveling process. So what is then the timetable going to be, Diana?
That's a good question. Mm-hmm. So hopefully in March, with all things leaning our way, the actual construction will begin. And by this time next year, we hope to be able to move in.
All right. Diana Cannon, thank you very much. What is the best way to donate? How do folks do that?
You can go to the website, which is www.hssaz.org, and then it's /building.
Okay. Or you
can call me.
Or call you, or Google Humane Society of Southern Arizona. That will get you there. And I'm sure that every donation would be welcome.
Every dollar helps. And at certain levels, there are naming opportunities if individuals are interested in honoring a family member or a coworker. We're happy to do that.
Diana, thank you very much.
Thank you. It's been enjoyable.
All right. Coming up this afternoon, we have more local talk. Mike Check with Mike Shaw and Ray Allen. That show from 4 to 5. Wake Up Tucson airs from 6 to 9. A new program we like very much called Talking Culture from 9 to 10. Then Buckmaster, me, back with you for Friday. And again, we will have the Chief of Police, Christopher Magnus, will be my guest at noon tomorrow on our Friday Focus interview. Until then, on behalf of my friend Ray Allen, I'm Bill Buckmaster. Have a great afternoon and evening.